Live on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, it's time for Q&A with DJ Phone. Today's program is sponsored by High Country Rec V Center, David Snyder, CPA, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Prescott College. Now, here's your host for Q&A, DJ Phone.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of Q&A. You know, it might be wintertime, it is December, but we are going to talk mostly outdoor sports with Yavapai College Athletic Director Brad Clifford. And we're going to key on the upcoming softball and baseball seasons, as well as reviewing different sports that occurred during the year, including soccer, volleyball, and good things like that. So lots of fun to talk about with Brad Clifford in just a moment. Also coming up after the news break with the news and weather break with Link near the bottom of the hour, a really fascinating chat with an author named Lynn Brunell. Now, this interview originally ran several months ago, but it's really more pertinent now. So I'm going to run it again, and here's why. Because of all the talk we've heard the last few weeks, couple of months, about global warming this and global warming that and what's real and what's not, what it keeps coming back to is people are noting that bees, they say, are dying off. And what role do they play in the balance of nature? Well, Lynn Brunell has written a book about the phenomenon that bees provide in so many ways. It's called Turn This Book Into a Beehive. So I think you'll find that really interesting because it's a very pertinent and a relevant issue today. Besides, hearing all that talk about bees just might put you in the mood to check out Superstition Meadery. So who knows? Hey, we always welcome your questions and comments about Q&A. Just email me at DJ Phone, that's DJFONE, at KQNA.com. Stay tuned, I got Brad Clifford in the bullpen, stepping right up on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. Streaming live around the world, KQNA.com.
Provide value. That's what a CPA can do for you. Hi, this is David A. Snyder, CPA. Now is a great time of year for business valuations. Valuations are for providing a value for your business so you can retire from it, sell it, or expand it. With my ex-military, task-oriented mindset, and over 20 years of experience, you can trust that you can get the most accurate business valuation. Give me a call or visit DavidASnyderCPA.com for more information. You deserve the sharpest in Arizona. David A. Snyder, CPA.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Laying awake at night with that all-too-familiar what-if, or going through the probate process with a family member or friend, you have worked hard building this life. Protect your legacy, gain peace of mind that your estate and family will be taken care of by putting in place a properly drafted estate plan. Hi, I'm Mike Menlove with Menlove Law, TFC, and Estate Document Service. Come in to see us and talk about your estate planning. Don't wait until it's too late to plan for the future. Call today at 772-5494 or visit us on the web at menlovelaw.com.
Email phishing attacks cost businesses billions annually in real cash, data loss, and brand damage. Phishing emails are hard to detect because the messages appear to be legitimate to unsuspecting employees. Introducing Barracuda Fish Line, a groundbreaking cloud-based solution designed to help employees recognize sophisticated email phishing attacks through interactive training reinforced by continuous simulation. Transform your employees from a liability into a line of defense. Go to barracuda.com/PL to learn more.
Dashing through the snow to CVS we go. A $10 cash card for beauty brands and bows. Lights to dress the tree and stocking gifts galore. Candy cards and photo gifts and deals throughout the store. At CVS Pharmacy, we've got all the little things you need this holiday. Like a $10 CVS cash card, yours when you spend $30 on select items. This week, M&Ms are 2 for $6 and photo cards are 30% off online. Dash to CVS Pharmacy today. Restrictions apply. See cvs.com/weeklyad for details.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. to the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rugby Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at HICountryRVCenter.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
We're back live at 206. Always great to have a friend in the studio. It's one of our buddies from Yavapai College, Mr. Brad Clifford. You have been the athletic director now at Yavapai College for how long?
Oh, I think we're looking 6 years now, six, 7 years, something
you
like that.
You have been there a while, and you have seen some great successes. You've also seen some big changes. Tell us about what's been going on at Yavapai College sports-wise in the year 2018.
Well, I tell you, this we had a good fall season with our sports, volleyball and soccer, obviously, men's soccer. Our volleyball team had a great run. They lost in the region championship, darn it, to a very good Eastern Arizona team. We had to go over there to Thatcher, Arizona, play, of all places.
Okay, where is Thatcher,
Thatcher's
Arizona?
Eastern Arizona. It's what is it, about four hours from Phoenix East. So we went over there and five games. We lost in the last one. And, so actually I take that back. We beat Eastern Arizona. We lost to Arizona Western. I'm getting the Westerns and the Easterns. We lost to Arizona Western down in Yuma in the region championship game, but we did beat Eastern Arizona in five games. So it was a good run. We were 19-9 on the season, had a great year. Zach does a great job with those kids. We always do great academically with that team. We can talk about that in a little while, but I tell you what, they did a great job. And then of course we had our soccer season, and it was a trial a little bit, but Hugh Bell stepped in and did a great job with that group, and we lost to Pima Community College in the regional semifinals, and Pima Community College goes on and wins the national championship.
Yeah,
so not a bad loss.
Wow.
And we lost 1-0.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad loss at all.
except losing by one goal, you spend the rest of the week wondering, what could we have done differently?
Oh, precisely. You know, and the break here and there, a bounce here there. You know, it could have been a 1-1 game. It could have been a 2-1 game. But doggone it, we lost 1-0. And again, the kids came together in a tough situation, and Hugh did a great job with them. And they were sorely disappointed, as well they should be. But I tell you what, we have a lot of freshmen that will be returning, and they got that hunger and that fight in their belly a little bit. So
sure. It
should be a fun year next year.
You know, it's the first time in 30 years that Yavapai College has fielded a men's soccer team without Mike Pantaleone. What kinds of expectations change when there's a coaching change?
You know, it's just, first of all, the kids are going to test you a little bit. You know, Hugh comes in, and he's been there for 27, I think, of those 30 years. So it's not like we're replacing a brand new person coming in. But you're still not the head person.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids tested Hugh a little bit, and Hugh responded very well, I thought. And the kids responded very well. So you're always concerned about how that transition is going to take place, especially in the minds of the kids, of the student athletes, and the coach. But they respect Coach Bell, Hugh, and awful lot. Again, they tested them a little bit early, what we can get away with, what we can't get away with, and Hugh responded fantastically. And we made a nice run, and again, woulda, coulda, shoulda there in the last game, and we'd be going much further than that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've been a player. You've also been a coach, correct?
Yes.
Remember the famous scene in the Gene Hackman film Hoosiers, where he takes his awestruck small-town school kids into that massive gymnasium, and he can see their jaws drop, and the first thing he does is measure the height of the basket and go, see, it's just like our home gym, right? What happens to a college team when they're playing on the road for a big game and it's their first time ever at that venue?
I think the same thing happens. You know, obviously not in that dramatic fashion, but I think you just say, hey, the game's still played the same.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what floor we're on. You know, it's not going to be a different type of surface. And now it might be, you know, if you're, especially in soccer, you may have artificial turf, you may have just turf, but it's still, the game still played the same. I know when I told my players the same thing, we'd walk into a big gymnasium like that, and I said, hey, it's still 94 by 50, and it's still 10 feet high. So just play the game.
Play your game, yeah.
Play the game and it all fall in place. So
yeah.
I think it's more mental than anything. Oh no, we're not in our home court. Oh no, this is this court. Well, it's not different than our home court. So it's a mental thing, I think, more than anything.
When you're playing on the road, do you gear your players up to try and quiet the crowd? Does that pull the team together more?
I think you want to do that. At least when I was coaching basketball, I wanted to quiet them early. So we wanted to have a quick hitter. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to get the ball immediately and we're going to, something dramatic. We're going to have a back door. Or we're going to have a 3-point or something like that. Let's quiet them early. That'll calm our nerves, obviously. Okay, we can play against them. We can play in a big venue. We can play against a big crowd. If we let them, the other team, get off early, hey, the crowd's in it forever. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to be in your head. So yeah. I think you got to have a quick hitter. I think you got to strike early, no matter what sport you're in. As a matter of fact, I've talked to Mike about that often. I've talked to Hugh about that often. You know, being down at a different venue, if we can score early, then we've got them. Then we have a chance to get them. But if they score and they get the momentum, the crowd gets into the situation, then it's really, now you're battling not only 11 players on the field, you're battling another whatever, however many in the stands as well.
Yeah. And, of course, Seattle, the Seahawks, they have a sign in their stadium, "We are the 12th man," just
exactly.
Because of a loud crowd. You mentioned turf before, Brad. In the last few weeks, we've seen the Arizona Diamondbacks announce they're going to have a new artificial or all-season turf field at Chase Field. We've also heard that Bradshaw Mountain High School is a brand-new artificial turf field that was announced in July. And then this past Sunday, the Arizona Cardinals, playing at the indoor stadium, had a quagmire to play in. I felt like a golf course manager yelling, "Replace your divots!" because it was so slippery. Both teams had to change into shoes with longer cleats at halftime. What kinds of field renovations have you guys been going through?
Well, I tell you, we haven't been changing to turf. We've played on turf, obviously, with soccer quite a bit, quite a few times. Baseball, we haven't quite, but I shouldn't take that back. We've actually played out at Bradshaw Mountain, and they have turf on their baseball field, on their infield, mm-hmm. not on the outfield. And it is making an adjustment. You look at that, you mm-hmm. make that look, but on the infield, it's actually the turf is brown, so it looks like dirt, where the dirt should be, and then the grass, where the grass should be, it's green. You've got to adjust to that play.
At least it's not Boise State where it's blue, right?
Where it's blue, right? Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Playing out at Bradshaw Mountain, you have to adjust. You're going to get a true hop off a bounce, off a bat. You know, you're not going to get a bad hop. Mm-hmm. You got to time your sliding. Mm-hmm. You've got to slide earlier. Because if you slide late, you're going past the bag.
Yeah.
I remember my brother coached out there, and so I watched a lot of baseball out there. My son played baseball for Bradshaw Mountain. And you saw so many kids slide past the bag and get out because of that. So they're sliding 10 feet earlier, mm-hmm. Whereas the opponents, they don't have that advantage of knowing that little secret. So it's different playing on turf. But it's all for the safety. You know, you talked about that game, the Cardinals and the Lions. That's all about safety. You know, you don't want to be ripping a hamstring or ripping a groin,
yeah.
or worse yet, ripping a knee. It's all about safety. We've had to change venues from Ken Lindley Field for soccer, last year or 2 years ago, because of all the monsoons we had.
Oh, yeah.
The field just did not dry out, and the grass did not set real well. So here we are a week before our first game. And we're having to make a decision. Look, shall we play here or shall we play our games out at Mountain Valley Park?
Yeah.
That didn't get as much damage there. And so we talked to the city about it, city of Prescott. We talked to the town of Prescott Valley. And Mike and I just decided, you know what, for safety's sake, we need to go out there where the field is truer and it's there's not many divots and there's not many holes. And again, it wasn't anything the city of Prescott did. It was just the amount of monsoons that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And the field just never came back.
When you played baseball, did you ever play a game on artificial turf?
I never did. I was fortunate enough to play on grass.
And you know what? You mentioned that you do get a true hop, but boy, that ball was hit hard. It explodes.
Oh, it slides off the
fielders.
You know, you think about skipping rocks, right, in a stream
exactly.
or something, or a lake like that, and that's what that does. Boy, it comes at you hard, and it's a true hop, but it's going to go by you if you're not quick enough, or it's going to come right at you, and you better be ready to field that ball.
And you know, during the 80s, when almost every major league stadium stadium had artificial turf, which I hated, yep. especially sliding pits. I hated that
right,
stuff.
Right.
But you see a very hard hit ground ball go through the shortstop's legs or just under his glove and roll to the wall.
Right.
That's how fast yeah. that stuff is.
And you're getting a triple out of a ground ball.
Or out of a fly ball that lands in the outfield and bounces 40 feet in the air.
Exactly.
It's a weird game when
yeah,
it's all astroturf.
It's just a different feel.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta adjust to that. Obviously, you get a home field advantage if you play on it, but it's just a different feel. And baseball is different, and football is different because
sure.
you got that is different from volleyball or different from basketball or anything like that because the floor is the same no matter what you're playing on. But that artificial turf sure brings a different perspective to the game.
Did you ever hear how AstroTurf got started?
I know.
Remember the Astrodome?
I do.
When it opened, I think in 65, it had an all-clear glass ceiling. And what happened during the first few weeks of the season, the outfielders kept losing the ball in the glare of the sun.
Right.
Refracted through the glass. So the Astros painted a gray paint over the outside of the glass roof. Well, that blocked out the sun, which killed the grass.
Right.
And it just so happened that Monsanto, the chemical company in my hometown of St. Louis, they had just developed an artificial turf, and because the Astros, they named it the Astrodome because of the Houston Space Center.
Right.
They installed so much of it there as kind of a test market for the country. Monsanto called it AstroTurf.
Wow.
And that's how the whole thing got started.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
You know, but that makes sense because you think of the Texas Stadium, the old Dallas Cowboys, and Irving, Texas. Big Cowboys fan, by the way.
Sure.
And
I go back to the Cotton Bowl days.
Yeah, okay, all right. But up top on their stadium, they had it open.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching it as a youngster, that some players on a fielding a punt or something like, they lost it in the sun.
Yep.
Lost it in the sun, but nothing you could do about that one. But
that's indeed. Hey, you guys have some Yavapai College alums in the major leagues, don't you?
We've got, this next year, we could see six alums playing in the major leagues. It's fantastic. Let's go down. Cole Calhoun's playing with the Angels.
And he had a gold glove last year.
A year ago or 2 years ago, he mm-hmm. had a gold glove. Cole Calhoun, Calhoun, not a brother. not a cousin.
Willie Calhoun, he came up, I believe, with the Dodgers,
right.
who traded him to the Rangers.
To the Rangers.
Where he's getting a lot of playing time.
He's getting a lot of playing time. They don't know where to put him because he's not a great fielder, but he could play DH.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to see some time this year. Kirby Yates with the Padres had a great year this last year as a pitcher. In fact, he was in the mix or the talk of a lot of trades late in the season. You know how they make those trades to get
sure.
to pitching, and so he was mentioned a lot in that. Who else do we got? Chance Adams. He got a cup of coffee in the major leagues this last year with pitching against the Red Sox in Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm. How cool is that?
And he actually had a decent outing. He gave up a couple dingers. But
I'd be
he wasn't
shaking
bad.
Like a leaf.
All right. Who else do we have?
Ken Giles.
He got traded. He won a World Series with the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, but then got traded. He got traded on a odd. He punched himself. I don't know if you saw it on Utah.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
That was Kenny. He got a little frustrated with himself.
Yeah.
Needless to say, he got traded to the Blue Jays and had a decent ending this last year.
Mm-hmm.
Who else we got coming up? We got one more coming up this year. Chance Adams and Merrill Kelly
from South Korea.
From South Korea.
4 years in South Korea.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so he just signed with the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
And so he's going to be in the bigs for 2 years. He's guaranteed 2 years somewhere.
Yeah.
If it's not with the Diamondbacks, it was somebody. So
nice.
We're going to have six possible players in the major leagues this year.
From Little Yavapai College.
Little Prescott, Arizona.
Which also produced, of course, Curt Schilling,
yeah. John Fogel. We got a lot of people that has come through the Yavapai College baseball program.
Yeah, how interesting. You mentioned Ken Giles, who's been known to hit 100 miles an hour in the mm-hmm. radar gun. Do you guys have a radar gun at Yavapai College?
We do. We use that every now and again. Of course, we see all the scouts. You'll see 20 scouts in the first 3 weeks of the season. You'll see 20 scouts in the stands every game, and they've all got their guns right there. It's a weird cultural phenomenon that
mm-hmm.
you ought to watch because they all come and they sit here, then they all go over and watch the bullpen, then they all come and watch this bullpen, and they all show up at the right time to watch batting practice. It's a weird cultural phenomenon, but they're doing their homework, doing their job.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever caught a guy who throws 100 miles an hour?
I caught my son. I used to catch my son because he was a pitcher, and he didn't top out at 100. He topped out at about 70, and I was stinging that way. I couldn't imagine catching a 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
You know, with so many of today's pitchers hitting the mid mid-90s, upper 90s, over 100. I wonder how many catchers 20 years from now are going to have no feeling in that left arm.
Oh, I could have, again, catching my son at 70 miles an hour, and you catch that right, boy, and that you'll have a handful of bees for a week. So I just couldn't imagine that. Couldn't imagine catching 100 miles an hour.
About 20 years ago, I was helping a buddy who was a teacher at Kirkwood High School in St. Louis, and he was the baseball coach, and I was doing some catching of his guys, and he had a guy who I'm sure was hitting 90-plus, and that was the first time I ever saw, you've heard announcers say the ball explodes.
Right.
It does.
It does.
It's almost like it gets a personality of its own on its way there because it simply overpowers the air. And it goes, you know, it has a wrinkle in it.
Right, right.
And it's like you're half catcher, half hockey goalie. You're just trying to save yourself.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, and it's interesting, and you know, you watch baseball for a long time, and you go watch those pros. And on TV, it looks like it's, oh, that's pretty easy. That's pretty easy. But you get up close, and you get in person watching it, you just go, oh, my gosh, this is really a talent. You know, you look at those guys turning double plays or fielding a ground ball. It's just so smooth, so
sure.
quick, and they're so quick with it. And then hitting them, could you imagine hitting 100 miles an hour fastball?
No, thanks.
I couldn't even imagine that. I couldn't catch up. I took batting practice a few years ago down at Yavapai. I stepped in, and the guy wasn't throwing very hard, and again, 70, 80 miles an hour. Where'd that ball go?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you thrown it yet?
Yeah, you can hear it, but you can't see
exactly,
it, right?
Exactly.
I remember at the All-Star game at Fenway Park back in the late 90s when Mark McGwire was going crazy. He talked to Ted Williams right before the game, and he asked Williams, do you ever smell burning wood when you foul tip a fastball? He said, yeah, all the time.
Wow.
And you'll see a batter occasionally sniff his bat
right.
because you'll create burning wood just from the speed of the ball and the seams hitting the very top of that bat.
That's amazing. Isn't that amazing? But, you know, I believe that. I mean, I just, again, I couldn't imagine hitting a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. But they do it. And they do it with frequency. A guy hitting 300 in the major leagues, that's unbelievable
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, it really is.
So, and George Brett was hitting 400 at one time.
Isn't that something? Tony Gwynn, too.
Tony Gwynn did.
He hit,
right.
I think, 390 one season.
That's right.
We are talking to Brad Clifford. Got more coming up in just a minute on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 1130 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. And we stream live around the world at kqna.com. More coming up with Brad in just a moment.
Now that it's finally cooled down outside, let's spruce up the yard. Prescott Dirt has the boulders, the rock, the topsoil. Oh yeah, we'll help you make your yard the talk of the town. I'm Sam with Prescott Dirt. We've been making the community beautiful since the early 90s with the best prices for landscaping materials along with the best service around. Come on, come see me at Prescott Dirt. We have locations in Prescott and Prescott Valley, and you can get lots of information at PrescottDirt.com.
Showers, dishes, laundry. What if you find yourself out of hot water? Well, that's where RED Plumbing comes in, and we'll get you back in hot water. RED Plumbing carries a huge selection of high-efficiency water heaters and recirculating systems backed by superior innovation. Gas, electric, or tankless water heaters. RED Plumbing has the right one for you. Give RED Plumbing a call today, 772-9296. That's 772-9296. Or find us online at redplumbinginc.com.
If you've waited all year to buy a new vehicle, stop what you're doing and head straight to Lamb Nissan's year-end event. Hello, this is Ed Walsh. The 2019s are here, so we're taking thousands off our remaining 2018s. Drive one of the best-selling SUVs in America, the Nissan Rogue, for only $19,777. That's over $6,500 off MSRP. Or the Rogue Sport for only $18,988. Save nearly $9,000 off MSRP on a 2018 Murano SV all-wheel drive, only $28,988. Or nearly $8,200 off MSRP on a 2018 Nissan Maxima, only $26,948. Think you can only afford a used car? Think again. How about a brand new Nissan Versa for only $10,888 and it comes with a full warranty? Only at Lamb Nissan's year-end event. Visit lambnissan.com for all of our great specials and come see why so many people come from Phoenix to buy a car in Prescott. Lamb Nissan, we're here to serve.
Hi, I'm Alex Molusky. I'd like to invite you to join me each Saturday morning at 6 a.m. for the Alex Molusky Show right here on KQNA. Join me each Saturday morning where we'll discuss statewide, nationwide, worldwide news that is important to you. And most importantly, here you'll get the last word. So please join me this Saturday morning at 6 a.m. for the Alex Molusky Show on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA.
At Norton's Lock and Safe, we stand for life, liberty, and the pursuit of safes? Liberty safes, that is. This is Jody. I am so excited. We are now the largest authorized Liberty dealer in Northern Arizona. And just like all of us at Norm's, Liberty safes are made right here in the U.S. of A. and have lifetime warranties. Check out the new showroom of Liberty Home and Gun Safes. Life, Liberty, and Norm's Lock and Safe. What more could you want? Play it safe with Liberty safes at Norm's in Prescott Valley.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Fung.
We are back live at 226 with Brad Clifford, the AD at Yavapai College. What's the softball outlook for this season, Brad?
Well, I tell you what, we're going to be young. We're going to be very young. We only return about four players, I think. We're especially going to be young on the mound, and that's obviously where you need to have pitchers. So he's got three. Doug Eastman's got three pitchers coming in, three freshman pitchers, but he's real excited about him. You know, if you have a pitcher, you can compete in softball. If you don't have a pitcher, then you might as well throw the season, quite honestly. So he's excited about him. It may be by, you know, committee, but he's got three good pitchers coming in.
Mm-hmm. Even though you're the athletic director, you do pay attention big time to academics. And what is the effect of academics in the classroom versus their sports performance?
Well, I tell you what, there's two trains of thought. The first one is we've found that if you're doing the job in the classroom, you're going to do the job on the field. If you're smart in the classroom, you're going to be smart in the field. Academics to us is huge. And you know, not just because it keeps us eligible, but we want them to get to the next level, which the next level is going to be what? University, right? So it's huge for us. And our kids, our coaches do a great job of monitoring that. Do we have kids that fall through the seams? Of course you do, but you have that anywhere you go, even if you weren't playing sports. But they do a great job with their academics. So I'm very proud of our athletes. I'm very proud of our coaches because that's why they're here. They're called student athletes. They're not athlete students.
Yeah.
So some kids want to become athlete students, but I think our coaches do a great job and say, no, we're gonna do the academics first.
You know, we've been celebrating Yavapai College's 50th anniversary all year. The homecoming is next year, and your athletic 50th anniversary is in 2020. Plus, you've got a national soccer tournament coming up again in 2 years, right?
You know, that's, now that you say that out loud, that's coming up real quick. Athletic Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. That'll be a fun thing. And then 2020, indeed, we have the 50th anniversary of the athletic department. We started with actually rodeo, of all things. We started with rodeo. And they ran off for a couple years, and then baseball and basketball started. So it's going to be a big year. And that big year, obviously, we'll host the national tournament. I think the last time I was in here, we were talking about the national tournament for 2017. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be talking about it again in 2020.
I know you're a baseball guy to the core, so I have to ask you two questions. First of all, how do you feel about the trade of Paul Goldschmidt?
You're going to make me cry. But it was a great move for the Diamondbacks. I really believe that. Goldie ran his thing here, and he's going to go win a ring somewhere, I hope. I really hope he does. But that was a great move. I'm going to sit here and cry about it for a week, but then a week I'm going to say, you know what, we got some good young talent out of that, and Goldie's going to go on and he's going to do some good things there. So I think it was a sad thing for the Diamondbacks, for Arizona, especially for what he did within the community. But it was a great move as far as getting in turn what we got out of it.
And the longer they held on to him, the less his trade value is. And he wasn't going to lead them to a pennant next year or the year after, and they couldn't afford to keep him after next season. So, yeah, I agree with you. They got maximum value while they could. Now the other question. A couple days ago, the National Baseball Hall of Fame announced two new members, Harold Baines and Lee Smith. Any reaction?
When I read that the other day, I was, because that I grew up in that era, so I have their baseball cards, as a matter of fact, and following them, and I don't want to. A Hall of Fame to me is you're just unreal, Babe Ruth, that type of thing. Was Harold Baines that? I don't know. He was a great player, don't get me wrong, and he hit real well, and I loved watching him. And Lee Smith, was he overpowering for a reliever at that time? Yeah, maybe a couple seasons. I don't know. They made it. Congratulations to him, but I don't know if that's Hall of Fame material.
And, you know, I'm a National League guy to the core. I never have liked the American League game with the DH. Harold Baines played 1,000 games in the outfield, but something like 1,400 as a DH.
Right.
I have trouble putting a DH in the Hall of Fame. He's only playing half the game. And I feel the same way about closers. Now, Lee Smith was overpowering for 8 years with the Cubs.
Right.
But after he left the Cubs, he played for 7 teams over the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And that's going to get you in the Hall of Fame. And I have a bias against closers in the Hall of Fame because you're coming in the ninth inning with nobody on base. One third of the time, you're going to face the bottom third of the order. And all they're asking you to do is give up less than 3 runs. I have a real tough time with that because I remember the days of Bruce Sutter, Goose Gossage, people like this, who would come in and put out the fire
right.
in the seventh or eighth inning and stay in and finish it.
Right.
So I have a built-in bias against both.
No, I agree with you on that. I just don't know if that was a good choice there. And again, I grew up in that same era with Goose Gossage and Bruce Sutter. And they pitched more innings.
Sure.
You know, Lee Smith and those others, they come in and they're throwing, what, 10 pitches, 15 pitches. If you're throwing over that, you're coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you. I just don't know if that was Hall of Fame material in my mind.
Remember Jesse Orosco?
I do.
There was a push for him for the Hall of Fame a few years ago, and I said, if he gets in the Hall of Fame, they ought to close it down.
Well, because, please put me on the ballot, too.
have you heard the term loogie when it comes to pitchers?
No.
Lefty, only one guy. That's who Jesse Orosco, a left-handed pitcher,
right.
was always brought into face. One guy, a
right.
left-handed hitter, and then he's out of the game.
Right.
And yeah, he was good at that. But he only faced lefties.
Right.
He's
going
to go in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, these guys are kind of like the hockey player who scores a lot of goals but never crosses the center ice line to cover his check.
Right.
He's called a floater, and that's not a term, you know, of admiration. These guys, I think they kind of have the easiest jobs in baseball, and I think they have to do it really, really well to get in the Hall. So I think they diluted it just a little bit.
I agree. But again, you look at a Hall of Fame, in my mind, you're looking at a Babe Ruth, you're looking at Sandy Koufax, looking at some big-time players that I just don't think Harold Baines and Lee Smith, I don't think they reached that pinnacle, quite frankly.
Yeah, that's true. And how can people learn more about what's going on at Yavapai College Academics? Oh, I'm sorry, sports?
Well, I tell you what, we've got baseball coming up, baseball, softball coming up. We'll start in January. The kids will get here. January already.
Wow.
So they'll get on campus on the 13th. We'll start practice on the 14th. In fact, our first games, softball, they're actually in Las Vegas. They'll play a tournament out there on the 25th and then down to Yuma on the 1st. They're actually not home until the 9th. Baseball, they'll get started on the 1st down in Phoenix, and then we're home on the 9th. www.goroughriders.com. We'll have all that information there. So we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun season.
Can you imagine being a baseball or softball coach or an AD at a school, say, in the north or northeast, where you don't get a warm day until May?
That's why they come out here in spring break. So you look at our schedule. We're playing Thompson Rivers out of Canada. We're playing, I mean, there's a couple schools that come down, North Dakota comes down, and they spend their spring break down in Arizona. Some of them 2 weeks to get not only games in, but get practicing.
Yeah.
Because they're not practicing up there. They spend their time in the gym, you know, and you can only do so much in the gym.
You've heard of the National Baseball Congress?
Uh-huh.
When I was the play-by-play guy at a radio station in Southwest Kansas back in the 80s, we had a couple guys on our NBC team who had played summer baseball in Alaska, where you have night games at 9 p.m.
Right.
with no lights.
Right.
That was weird.
Speak of NBC a little bit, one of our baseball players, Tommy Sacco, he played on the NBC tournament this last year, and they took second. He played for the NJCAA All-Star team, and they took second there. So
how about that?
Yeah, pretty fun. And he's back with us this year, second baseman.
Even better. That's Brad Clifford, Yavapai College Athletic Director. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Continued success at Yavapai College.
Absolutely.
Stay tuned. I've got Link coming up with local and state news and weather, and then a chat about bees with an author you'll want to listen to. It's Lynn Brunell coming your way on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. We stream live around the world at KQNA.com.
Hi, James Roush here of Wallach & Volk Mortgage. Are you interested in buying a home and just have a million questions running through your head? The James Roush team at Wallach & Volk Mortgage is here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by appointment. Even if you need to meet on Saturday morning because of your work schedule, we'll be there. Call the James Roush team at 445-8730, Wallach & Volk Mortgage.
License number 00128295, LNS number 162209, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Stay warm and comfortable all winter long with Gettles High Desert Mechanical. When it comes to fast, reliable service, the guys and gals at Gettles get it. Building, remodeling, or just making sure your heating and air conditioning is performing properly. Call Gettles and their highly trained service techs will keep your furnace system running at peak efficiency. Avoid disappointments and future regrets. Don't settle. Call Gettles, G-O-E-T-T-L-S. Visit GettlesHDM.com, now offering plumbing repair and service.
What are your favorite things about the holidays? I bet cleaning doesn't even make the list. Let Made to Order help you enjoy your free time to the fullest. No more making excuses to guests. When they tell you how clean your house is, tell them you called Made to Order. Or not, it can be our little secret. Made to Order has cleaned over 3,000 area homes. We're trustworthy, flexible, reliable, and guaranteed. Get a start on your holiday housework. Call Made to Order today at 899-8518 or online at PrescottMadeToOrder.com.
What places would you like to visit this Christmas season? Think about it. Keep in mind, Prescott is Arizona's Christmas city, where the magic of an old-fashioned hometown Christmas lives on, with the Courthouse Square being the crown jewel and center stage for some of the most cherished of Christmas traditions. Prescott Valley's Valley of Lights is also a stunning must-see local attraction. The entire Quad City area offers an abundance of holiday festivities. This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV, inviting you to come experience Christmas in our neck of the woods. While you're in the neighborhood, stop by for complimentary chili from 11 to 2 on Friday and Saturday at all three locations. Who knows, you might find that perfect RV, the most impressive stocking stuffer that's on your Christmas list. Merry Christmas from Affinity RV Service Sales and Rentals, Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69 in Prescott Valley or Dewey, or online at affinityrv.com. Find your Christmas away. Go RV!
The talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Good afternoon, and thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, your choice for your Wednesday. I'm Link Elliott with a check of news and weather together on Q&A with DJ Phone, brought to you by Wallach & Volk. The Prescott Valley Police Department is offering some tips to keep your delivered holiday packages safe.
Prescott Valley Police Department spokeswoman Rachel Montague explains you shouldn't let your deliveries sit.
Monitor when your packages are expected to arrive, track their delivery, and arrange to have them collected promptly. If you have neighbors who are home during the day, consider asking them to collect the packages.
Montague says another option is having packages shipped to an alternate address.
Your company may allow you to have your packages shipped directly to your place of business. Check with management to see if this is acceptable. Consider shipping your packages to a friend or relative.
Some retailers also allow you to ship to a store near you. They even offer special parking near the entrance. You can also consider having your packages delivered only when someone is available to sign for them. I'm Bill Monroe reporting.
The Northern Arizona Suns have now lost 5 straight games at home. The Suns were at the Prescott Valley Event Center last night to take on the Capital City Go-Go for the first time in team history. Northern Arizona had a 1-point lead after the first quarter before Capital City took an 8-point lead by halftime. The Suns were able to come back after being down 14 points to get within 4 with 47 seconds left, but it wasn't enough as the Go-Go got the 108-102 win. Guard Eli Okobo, who was just reassigned to the Suns, scored 24 points. Forward Daniel Dixon scored 21 points. The Northern Arizona Suns hit the road for a game against the Salt Lake City Stars in Utah. Tip-off is at 7 tomorrow night. Taking a look now at your KQ&A weather. Mostly clear tonight and clouds roll in this weekend. Expect an overnight low of 26 tonight in the Prescott area with a high of 51 tomorrow and a high of 55 on Friday. 31 degrees tonight for Cottonwood and the Verde Valley with a high on Thursday of 60 and a high on Friday of 63. Q&A will continue after this. I'm Link Elliott for the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 and 95.5 FM, KQ&A.
Your heart deserves state-of-the-art care. And with the James Family Heart Center, the heart healing services you need are close to home. We offer personalized care and innovative technology in an environment that promotes surgical excellence. Our heart specialists provide a comprehensive array of care, from open heart surgery and interventional procedures to therapies to correct heart rhythm disorders. And now, we proudly perform transcatheter aortic valve replacement, a revolutionary procedure for people who require an alternative to traditional valve replacement surgery. From the skilled hands of our physicians to our investment in facilities, technologies, and preventive care, the James Family Heart Center at YRMC West is state-of-the-art care for the state of your heart. Talk to your heart specialist about the James Family Heart Center or visit us online at yrmc.org.
When you reach your retirement age, 62 or older, additional income could make your current financial situation more stable. How about Country Bank's Home Equity Conversion Mortgage, commonly known as a reverse mortgage? Some advantages are no monthly principal and interest payment, monthly income, a line of credit, or both, plus you could delay your Social Security benefits.
Come by and see me, Suzanne Cosley at Country Bank, or call me at 928-583-9015 for more details.
Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities KQNA. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Welcome back to Q&A. I'm DJ Phone. You know, spring, of course, has finally arrived and the flowers are starting to bud. Well, four-time Emmy Award-winning writer for the show, Bill Nye, the Science Guy, Lynn Brunell is with us. She has written a wonderful book called Turn This Book Into a Beehive. It has 19 experiments and activities to offer a deeper understanding of what it's like to be a bee and how we can help protect them. Lynn, you spend a lot of this book talking about an amazing little bee that is nature's super pollinator. Who is that?
That is the mason bee, which I didn't even know existed until I started doing research for this book, and they are remarkable. I think when we think of bees, at least before I did the research, when I thought of bees, I thought of bees as all living in hives and all having a queen bee and all making honey. But it turns out that's only 2% of the population of bees on the planet.
And not only that, but there's something like how many thousand different species of bees?
25,000 different species of bees in the world, and 4,000 of those species in America alone. And so they fall into two camps. There's the social bee camp and then the solitary bee camp. The social bee camp are the honeybees and the bumblebees, and they have a queen, and they gather food in the form of nectar and honey, and they protect their hives with stings, like venomous stings, right? Then there's the solitary bees, who they don't live together in a hive. They live near each other. You know, they don't live in the same hive. They don't work together as a social unit. Every girl's a queen. Every female, every female, at least for mason bees, they're kind of like single moms. They find the home. They get the food, they lay the eggs, and they go out, grab mud and spackle these walls, which is why they're called mason bees. But these solitary bees are amazing pollinators.
And we always hear stories in the news about when there's swarms of bees, there are sometimes fatal bee stings. We don't worry about that with the mason bee, do we?
No, mason bees don't sting. They're friendly bees, and they don't need to sting because they're solitary. The bees that live in hives, that they sting to actually protect all their investment, right? So there's one queen bee, and she's got all the genetic information. She's passing on all that genetic information to all the eggs, right? So the worker bees in that hive need to protect her because they're protecting their next generation. Also, these worker bees in the hives are spending hours and hours and lifetimes to create honey. And the honey is something that they want to protect too because it took a lot of resources to create that. So the worker bees They have the same body structure as a queen. They're not the same size, but the queen has an ovipositor at the end of her body, and that's where she lays the eggs from. The worker bees don't lay eggs, but they still have that ovipositor, and it doubles as a stinger. It's filled with venom, and they can use it to protect their hive. With a solitary bee, you know, since every girl's a queen and laying her own eggs, she doesn't carry venom in that area. So if you do mess with a mason bee, she might stick that in you, but there's no venom, so it's not going to be a bee sting.
Now, bees, I understand, have a very, very powerful sense of smell, and some have even been trained by the Los Alamos National Laboratory?
Yeah, to be able to sniff out bombs. They can detect molecules of such small concentrations that they're really useful for that thing. There was even experiments that I was reading about that they use bees to sniff out cancer. People breathe into some sort of container, and if the bee flies toward it, then it is a marker for some sort of thing for them to look for cancer. It's pretty amazing that they've been used to sniff out bombs. It's at Los Alamos National Laboratory to be bomb detectors.
If they
smell the explosive, and then they stick out their tongues, and that's how you know that they smell the explosive.
And we also understand that honey has quite a shelf life, doesn't it?
It's got, like, no expiration date. There have been stories of archaeologists who have dug out Egyptian tombs, you know, 3,000-year-old tombs, and finding these pots of honey that have been crystallized. But if you just add heat to the sugar crystallization, will break down again, and the honey will be just fine. There's no bacteria in it because there are these natural antibiotic fluid. So it's got no shelf life. It's pretty amazing. You can eat that honey from 3,000 years ago, and it would taste just as delicious as honey you harvested last week.
Describe one or two of the experiments and activities in your book, Turn This Book Into a Beehive.
One of my favorites is, I just love this, that bees have this sort of electro sense, right? They're very, very sensitive, and they can tell differences in current. So when they fly up to a flower, they're flying through the air, and they're getting bombarded by molecules, right? And so those molecules knock off some electrons, and bees are positively charged. Flowers themselves are negatively charged because a lot of these free-floating electrons land on the flowers. So in a strange way, almost like a magnet, a bee can come up towards a flower, and because it is positively charged and the flower is negatively charged, the pollen can, like, leap to the bee and stick to its body. And so there's a really cool experiment that shows that. If you can make a flower out of tissue paper and then cut tiny little confetti to put on top of that flower. Then you take a balloon and you rub that balloon on your head, and you're charging it, right? And then you hold it over the flower. Those little tiny pieces of pollen will leap to the balloon bee. And it's just a great visual illustration of how you can use differences in magnetic fields and that they use these in nature. It's really cool.
Now, you've written more than 45 books. You are also a writer, four-time Emmy Award-winning writer for Bill Nye, the Science Guy. At what age do you think the science bug bit you?
Oh, I'm a firm believer that toddlers are, even before. I think babies, right? They're in the high chair, and they're dropping peas off the high chair, and that is them figuring out the world, right? They're kind of looking like, every time I drop that pea, it goes down. Those are gravity experiments,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Anytime they stick something in their mouth, they're trying to check and see what that material is and what the texture is. So I think we're born scientists. I think sometimes that joy for experimentation and discovery can get sort of teased out of us. I know it did for me when I was younger. I didn't have teachers that were comfortable, I think, in science, and so they didn't share any of that passion. So as I grew up and realized how cool this world is and how it's all science, I kind of love sharing that and sharing the enthusiasm with not only kids but teachers too, and parents who say that they're not science people, because I would argue we're all science people. If you've ever asked why something happens or how mm-hmm. that works, That's all science.
And tell us about the effect of the annual loss of honeybee colonies and the effect on the environment.
Well, it's a scary thing because bees are actually a keystone species. And that means that plants and animals depend on that species for survival. And if that species is removed, then the whole ecosystem could crumble. And we're part of that species. We really depend on bees because they pollinate 75% of the plants, the fruits and vegetables that we eat. And they also pollinate some of the clothing plants, cotton and linen. And if they disappear, that food source is going to disappear for us. And you know, you can trace almost anything back to a bee. You can trace a slice of pizza back to a bee because the grain that went into making the dough is a grass that's pollinated by bees. The cheese that comes from the cow eats the grass that's been pollinated by bees. So if bees disappear, so does a lot of our food. The lucky thing is, well, the unlucky thing is that honeybees are in trouble. The hives are collapsing. The bees are disappearing. And, you know, there's a whole host of reasons why scientists think this is happening. You know, everything from the pesticides that we use on our farms and gardens to the global warming, which is changing the schedule of flowers that are opening at different times, to the stress that we're putting the bees under because we're using them in farms and orchards and things and expanding their sort of ribbon of pollen gathering and honey making, making it a lot bigger. So we're putting a lot of pressure on these honeybees. Plus there are viruses and funguses and mites, and some people even think that cell phone towers might have an effect on these. That's the bad news. The good news is that honeybees aren't the only show in town. These mason bees and other solitary bees are wild. Their populations are healthy. Honeybees are domesticated. They were all brought here by the colonists who colonized America. They were all brought here from Europe, and it traces way, way, way back. Humans have been domesticating honeybees ever since really the Stone Age. There have been carvings and caves found of people harvesting bees from 32,000 BC. So, yes, there's a problem with the honeybees, but if we can bring in, if we can invite these wild pollinators into our gardens, we can actually alleviate a lot of the pressure that these honeybees are feeling and make a difference while we're doing it.
The author is Lynn Brunell. The book is Turn This Book Into a Beehive, and 19 other experiments and activities that explore the amazing world of bees. And if you're in the Prescott Valley area, we recommend asking for Turn This Book Into a Beehive at Bookhaven in the Prescott area. Check it out at Peregrine Books. Thank you so much for joining us today on Q&A.
Thank you.
That's Lynn Brunell. Stay tuned. We've got more coming up on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. Streaming live around the world at kqna.com.
The entire team at Findlay Subaru Prescott would love to thank everyone who helped us celebrate the grand opening of your all-new state-of-the-art Subaru facility. The best way to feel love is to share it, and that's why the Subaru Share the Love event was created. Over the last 10 years, Subaru has donated over $118 million to charity. This year, Subaru will donate $250 to your choice of our charity partners when you purchase a new Subaru. The ASPCA, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, National Park Foundation, or our hometown charity partner, Yavapai Search and Rescue Team. Plus, Findlay Subaru Prescott will donate an additional $50 in your name to our hometown charity. With winter approaching, this is the perfect time to check out our lineup of Subarus with symmetrical all-wheel drive. Because when you choose a Subaru, you don't just choose a car. You're choosing a company with a commitment to protect those you love. Findlay Subaru Prescott, doing our part to give back to the community and make the world a better place.
Hi folks, this is Danny Sampson. For the seventh time, Little Dealer Little Prices RV has won the Top 50 award from RV Business Magazine. That's over three times more than any other dealer in Arizona. We are officially recognized as one of the best 50 dealerships to buy from in the United States and Canada. Right now, we have super low closeout pricing on all 2018 motorhomes, travel trailers, fifth wheels, folding trailers, and toy haulers. Come see the difference at Little Dealer Little Prices RV in Prescott Valley, Highway 69 in Truewood.
Provide value. That's what a CPA can do for you. Hi, this is David A. Snyder, CPA. Now is a great time of year for business valuations. Valuations are for providing a value for your business so you can retire from it, sell it, or expand it. With my ex-military, task-oriented mindset, and over 20 years of experience, you can trust that you can get the most accurate business valuation. Give me a call or visit DavidASnyderCPA.com for more information. You deserve the sharpest in Arizona. David A. Snyder, CPA.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
In case you weren't able to catch A Christmas Story on the big screen last week at the Elks Theater, it will be repeated live on stage at the PCA main stage. They have a special extra presentation tonight and a Saturday matinee added to this week's this final weekend schedule. Go to pca-az.net for the schedule and ticket availability. The Prescott Elks Theater tonight has their Wednesday classic. It's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase, because every family has a cousin Eddie. And don't miss A Christmas Carol, the musical, staging all weekend at the Yavapai College Performing Arts Center. Hey, if great classic movies and Oscar-nominated films interest you, you only have two more nights to see Schindler's List, the 25th anniversary screening, and the Glenn Close film The Wife, which has a lot of Hollywood buzz about a possible Best Actress nomination. Those films are showing today and tomorrow, and that's it, at the Harkins 14 in PV, so see them when you can. New movies opening this weekend at the Harkins include tonight's Once Upon a Deadpool, the very funny and snarky Ryan Reynolds potty mouth superhero series, loaded with showbiz in-jokes, but Once Upon a Deadpool is the family-friendly PG version. I'm glad they have that. It's a really funny movie. Opening Thursday and Friday nights are the animated Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, The Mule with Clint Eastwood at age 88, and Mortal Engines, which is kind of like a two-hour futuristic video horror game. So, stay tuned now for Ben Shapiro at 3, then Talk of the Town, Prescott. Join me right back here Thursday for Q&A with my guests Felipe Guerrero with exciting news from the Highland Center for Natural History. Also, Joe Youngerman with the Marine Corps Reserve Toys for Tots campaign. That's Q&A Thursday at 2, when I'll see you on the radio.
You've been listening to Q&A on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by High Country Rec V-Center, David Snyder, CPA, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Prescott College. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Q&A with DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.